Lean back. Relax. Take a deep breath. Think of your mantra. And in your head, say, "This is what it is and what it's always been." Together, "This is what it is and what it's all been." Good. How many of you have been to yoga? Good. Meditation? Excellent. Prayed? Oh, a few. Excellent. Fabulous. Well, we've all probably heard similar things to induce us into a state of receptivity and openness, whether it is at yoga class or meditation or a retreat, a prayer. It's a pretty good reminder about what is true. Those things that we say to ourselves to calm us down. Like Jesus saying, "Do not weep," or "It'll be fine. All shall be well." That's all wonderful and very helpful until something happens that makes any of those mantras impossible to live by and even more impossible to believe. There's a lot in life that needs that reminder, but you all know what it's like when there's the straw that breaks the camel's back and all of those things are impossible to believe. So much of our energy, time, worry, anxiety is directed towards things that at the end of the day do not matter and cannot be changed. There are always things that need tending and taking care of, and it's an ever-present challenge to figure out what needs attention in our lives and what does not. Priorities are complicated. Dreams are distant. And in the midst of life in all of its fullness, sifting through the demands that are at stake, who needs us, what needs to be done, it's all a rather full-time job. Life's an ever-constant negotiation of needs, priorities, and at one point or other, we do get weary and say, "If I have to deal with one more thing, I just can't do this anymore." And that lovely mantra goes out the window. But for the most part, the reason of saying things like these, you know, all those posters, you see it everywhere these days, "Keep calm and be happy, carry on," whatever it is. Exactly. They remind us about the truth of life and that there are some things that are more important than others until that one thing shows up. When something interjects or intercepts or intercedes into our truth and gets right in there and upsets the very core of our being. When that happens, we need to be recalibrated, restored, and we need resurrection. Now, surely the widows in today's readings were at that point. Widowhood was not a thing you wanted to experience in Israel. It was not secure. It was not safe. And the widow of Nain in particular, her only son, her only way of having income, of being cared for, of health, of security, had died. She must have run through this phrase several times, probably while he was ill, saying, "Okay, it's what it is, and it's going to be all right," but then he dies. And it's that one more thing. And much to her surprise, Jesus shows up. Perhaps it's in these very moments, whenever I was telling you at the beginning to lean back, relax, take a breath, say your mantra, that it is what it is and it's always been that way, that Jesus actually sees us. Maybe that's why we spend time trying to get to that spot. And maybe, rather than feeling even sort of more calm or more desperate, depending on your situation, Jesus is saying right then, "Stop. I have a different plan, a different idea, a different way, a different thing to believe, and a different way to be. It doesn't have to be what it is and what it's always been." You'll notice in the story that the widow, unlike many stories in the New Testament, does not ask for Jesus' help. She doesn't. But Jesus sees her. He sees her losses. He sees her need. He sees her suffering. He sees what her life would be like, already a widow and now without her son, her only child. Jesus sees that she has said, probably one too many times, "This is what it is and what it's always been." And Jesus says, "No. This doesn't have to be what it is and what it's always been. You won't have to die in poverty and alone." So Jesus restores life to her son and then gives him back to his mother. In restoring life to the son, he restores the mother to who she is in all her fullness in that one instant. He hands to the widow of Nain her very self, her soul. That is a resurrection moment. Her whole life is recalibrated. You see, when Jesus shows up, usually when we don't expect it, and sees us, well, what it is and what it's always been changes to this is what it can be. Because the story isn't only about Jesus and about us, it's about God. Our God, who sees us, looks favorably on us, regards us, and knows us. And what was and is, well, then that's transformed in that moment into what's possible. Jesus always sees what we overlook. The stories that we're reading, the left for dead guy in the ditch, the wee little man up the tree, in the sycamore tree, those who are left behind, those who can't take one more thing in their lives. Jesus sees us so that we might see who needs to be restored to who or to what they are, and to see that it's possible to be what we once were and something new all at the same time. This week, we're experiencing that here in our own country. People are returning to Fort McMurray after the devastating fires. And so much loss and damage. So many dreams completely snuffed out. So many memories burned away. What was is no longer. What is heartbreaking. What will be is impossible to imagine. And it must be impossible to believe any mantra like "keep calm and carry on" or "do not weep," as even Jesus says. You know what it feels like when someone says that to you and all you can do is weep. In the midst of that devastation in Fort McMurray, it must be dreadful to return. And yet, God shows up. God shows up in the actions of, I'm sure, many people. And I heard a story about one man in particular that God came in and must have helped him with this one in a simple, profound way. Chris Byrne is his name, and he's one of the residents that was allowed back into the city before the evacuation orders were all lifted. So he was pretty much alone in the city. He was scrounging for a few supplies in the post-fire debris. As he said in the article I read, I couldn't just go to Home Hardware and pick up a few things, because there's no Home Hardware left. But being Canadian and being, you know, very thoughtful, he found some duct tape and some plastic. And he went to work. He got a ladder, and he took a few moments to make a simple and temporary change to the city's welcome sign. Normally, the sign reads, like most towns in Canada, "Welcome to Fort McMurray." With Chris's handiwork, it now reads, "Welcome home, Fort McMurray." Someone stopped and took a video of him while he was duct taping his sign on there over the two to home. And the video has gone viral. Everybody has watched it. I hadn't, but lots of people have watched it. And many people have stopped their cars, honked their horns, and been overcome with tears as they return to Fort McMurray. Through Chris Byrne, Jesus, God, showed up. The loss, the need, the suffering, the despair was halted in its tracks, just as those cars now stop when they see their sign. Even if for just a moment, even for a brief moment, hope is restored. The mantra changes from "it is what it is" and to "there is so much more." It's a resurrection glimpse. Sometimes that's all we need, one glimpse. May each of us be open to Jesus showing up in unexpected ways, in unexpected people. May each one of us be open to letting God work through us to bring those moments to others. May our mantra be, if only for one moment at a time, stop. There's a different plan, a different idea, a different way of being and believing. It does not have to be what it is and what it's always been. So indeed, sit back, relax, breathe, and remember, it can be different. Amen.